If you're enjoying History Extra Long Reads, make sure you follow us to keep up to date and get all the latest episodes. Thank you for your support. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to History Extra Long Reads, where we take a deep dive into the past, bringing you the very best of BBC History Magazine, with fascinating articles from leading historical experts. When Alexander the Great founded a settlement at the junction of three continents in 331 BC, he created a metropolitan powerhouse that would shape global history. In this long read, Islam Issa hails the genius of ancient Alexandria, a colourful, multicultural, and thoroughly modern city. Today's feature originally appeared in the March 2024 issue of BBC History Magazine and has been voiced in partnership with the Royal National Institute of Blind People.
When the Macedonian king Alexander the Great arrived at the barren island of Pharos in 331 BC, he was still in his mid-twenties and barely 5 years into his reign. The ambitious young warrior had been drawn to this spot on Egypt's Mediterranean shore after reading about it in the epic poetry of Homer, most revered of the ancient Greek writers. A lover of literature, Alexander had even styled his hair in long locks to emulate Homer's hero Achilles. What he found was a tiny, lifeless island facing a series of small fishing villages scattered across a windswept coast. A few miles to the south on the mainland spread a vast freshwater lake around which the ancient Egyptians had constructed a canal network. In his unceasing quest for world domination, this was just the location for which Alexander had long searched, at the intersection of Africa, Europe, and Asia. And when he arrived at this strategic hotspot, he dropped to his knees in a state of ecstasy and began scattering barley across the sandy ground, roughly designing the layout of what would soon become the world's first modern city, a magnificent capital that would change the course of history. Named in honour of its founder, Alexandria was established that very same year with a causeway measuring 7 stadia, around 1.2 kilometres, built to connect Pharos to the coast. Alexander himself was soon on his way eastward in search of his next adventure. He didn't even wait to watch his new city being built. But its fate was now set, associated with a founding myth and a living hero, and with both Alexander's city plan and a trusted architect to enact it. The design Alexander had drawn on the sand included harbours, palaces, temples, markets, and a library dedicated to the muses. Within decades, this once desolate place had undergone an incredible transformation into a city that transported its visitors into the future. When the Greek geographer Strabo visited Alexandria 3 centuries later, he gasped at its grandeur, comprising building upon building. The promenade, designed by the renowned Greek architect Dinocrates, was angled to encourage a welcome breeze from the ocean that infused the streets with the scents of cinnamon and honeysuckle. Even 5 centuries after Alexander's fateful visit, Roman civil servant Herodian described billows of perfume and sweet aromas throughout the city. Horses and chariots traversed 8-lane-wide roads, while marbled colonnades provided shade for pedestrians. Grand courts and statues, including many depicting the city's founder, dotted the paths. Around a main square, locals drove mules and donkeys to bustling markets, where stalls were stacked high with fruits, vegetables, loaves of bread, and barrels of cloudy beer. Artisans showed off colourful, decorative mosaics of glass, stone, and clay. There were bathhouses, tree-studded gardens, and a gleaming temple dedicated to Alexandria's very own god, Serapis, looming over the city at the top of the hill. In the complex called the Museum, the Shrine of Muses, scholars gathered to think and to debate, to read and to write. At its heart stood the Biblion, the Shrine of Books, housing ceiling-high bookshelves brimming with scrolls, stacked on top of one another like wooden logs. But the real focus of energy was the dock at the exact spot where Alexander had arrived on Pharos. The previously lifeless island now boasted one of the tallest man-made structures in the world, the 3-tiered Pharos Lighthouse. This extraordinary building was well over 100 metres high, made of reflective white limestone, a lofty beacon of light that symbolised the power and grandeur of the city. It also served a practical purpose, guiding ships into the 2 busy harbours on either side, beautifully enclosed both by the embankment and by nature, as Strabo put it.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
In the lighthouse's top story, mirrors reflected the sun's bright rays during the day, and by night fire from its furnace created a magnificent glow. The city of Alexandria was an idealistic endeavour, intended from the very start to be a global capital. Though conceived by its founder, it was implemented by his childhood friend and general, Ptolemy I, and his successors. Alexandria's founders had a unique and innovative vision of what makes a city successful, and it was nothing short of radical. They imagined and enacted 2 outrageous theories. First, that bringing together diverse people from far and wide in a strategically located spot would produce economic prosperity and make the city a world trade capital. Second, that gathering and generating knowledge via the library and museum would consolidate the city as a global powerhouse. Within a single century, these 2 premises had combined to make Alexandria the global capital of both trade and knowledge. Alexander knew that taking control of such a prime location could play a part in expanding and strengthening his realm, bolstering his grand plan to build a unified empire that stretched as far east as Persia and India. To do so, he envisioned roads and ports connecting Europe with Asia. However, unlike most cities, Alexandria was born not from war or geographical division, but was created from scratch. Rather than developing organically, Alexandria was purposely visualized, conceived, shaped, and expanded. People from across the region were invited to populate the new city, with trade a key aspect of its identity. Welcoming rather than othering citizens was part of the economic plan. This was to be a polis, city-state, founded on the notion that it is possible to harmonize different cultures and traditions in order to achieve a greater goal. At a time when the Hellenistic world regarded non-Greeks as barbarians, and when Egyptians were highly protective of their own traditions, this was a brave new ideology. Drawn by the Alexandrian dream, thousands of people flocked to the new city from every direction. Egyptians travelled north through the desert, Europeans sailed across the Mediterranean, and Jews made their way west from the Holy Land to be joined by many more groups, including Ethiopians, Levantines, Romans, and Indians. The first century Jewish historian Josephus, who married a woman from Alexandria, wrote that Jews moved to the new city invited by the goodness of the soil and by the liberality of its early leaders. Indeed, it's said that in his very first design, Alexander allocated a district for Jews in his new city. In an attempt to grow the populace, Jews were exempted from tax and promised freedom of worship, with grand synagogues and special theatres built here. And during the reign of Ptolemy II, the Hebrew Bible was translated into Alexandria's very own dialect of Koine Greek. Thanks to Serapis, the newly amalgamated Greco-Egyptian god, championed by the Ptolemies, the Greeks and Egyptians were also able to find common ground. Migration and multiculturalism were effective ways of increasing the city's population and in turn its military, commercial, and economic power. Before long, Alexandria became a significant regional trading center and transport hub that welcomed merchants and travelers from east and west. It imported goods from as far as Persia and India, and exported a range of items to Europe, even the British Isles, that included art, oils, spices, wine, and grain, becoming Rome's key breadbasket. Alexander's successors also put his second priority, gathering and generating knowledge, into action. A 2nd century BC letter, the earliest reference to the Library of Alexandria, tells us that the Ptolemies gave the first chief librarian, Demetrius of Phalerum, an unprecedented budget in order to collect all the books in the world, a seemingly impossible task. The library, nonetheless, came to house hundreds of thousands of works, by far the biggest collection of writing ever gathered up to that point in history. The museum too became the world's leading research center, with scholars coming from across the region to work here, given stipends, food, and accommodation by the state. They created novel philosophies and pioneered original inventions in a range of fields, from astronomy to geography, and from mathematics to poetry. Alexandria's medical school made huge advances, and unlike its Greek counterpart, welcomed women through its doors. To Alexandria's leaders, knowledge equaled power. They put into place various policies to ensure that this authority was maintained and that the city's library would outshine all others. Books were not allowed to leave the city, and ships docking at the harbour were searched for written materials, which would be confiscated immediately. The export of papyrus was even banned to stop rival cities and libraries from increasing their stocks. By gathering hundreds of thousands of books from around the world, there were 500,000 scrolls, according to the second librarian, Callimachus, and by researching and disseminating new philosophies, theories, and inventions, Alexandria's rulers became the global custodians of knowledge. Coupled with the city's economic success, the Great Library brought Alexander's burgeoning capital incredible influence. Alexandria's architects successfully executed its founder's radical vision of how to create a city, and more, how to make it a global power. By utilizing a strategic location to build a metropolis from scratch, by gathering diverse people to live and prosper together in harmony, and by collating and generating knowledge, Alexandria redefined what it means to successfully construct and maintain a city and society. As the centuries went on, Alexandria's fame and status made it a key target for the most powerful empires, from the Romans and Ottomans to the French and British, attracting the likes of Julius Caesar, Saladin, Napoleon, and Admiral Nelson. As migration to its shores continued, its various residents brought with them a wide range of traditions, values, and faiths, and developed the philosophies of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. When 15th century explorer Vasco da Gama arrived at Asia by sailing all the way around Africa, Alexandria's unique claim to linking the East and West began to diminish. Nonetheless, the city continued to attract different groups, and by the 19th and 20th centuries, Armenians, Greeks, Italians, and Turks called it home. With the rise of Arab nationalism in the mid-20th century, many of these departed. Today, Alexandria is a bustling metropolis with a population exceeding 6 million and responsible for 40% of Egypt's industrial capacity. Its founder died at 32, 8 years after he first set foot on Pharos. He never returned to see Alexandria in all its glory. More than two millennia later, the city that Alexander the Great envisaged during a brief visit to a barren island off the windswept coast of North Africa still stands proud.
Today's long read was written by Islam Issa, Professor of Literature and History at Birmingham City University. His latest book, Alexandria, The City That Changed the World, was published by Septa in November 2023. Islam also joined us on the History Extra podcast to discuss Alexander the Great's metropolis with journalist Rebecca Franks. If you're intrigued to find out more, you can listen to that episode at historyextra.com/Alexandria-pod or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks again to the Royal National Institute of Blind People for their help voicing this article, which first appeared in the March 2024 issue of BBC History magazine.